this middle round.
Let's start with the Platinum province and just say to the members, isn't it nice? Let me say this when the FSC are left, because they are still traveling up and down. I was just about to say, isn't it nice when a province, Mr. Khuyaman, decides to want to come and appear before the Select Committee on Finance? And these are people from the Platinum province. They had missed their chance on Friday last week because of other things, but they insisted that they wanted to come here and allow you to grill them. Isn't this nice for democracy? I really feel good. This is just good. Let's really applaud your own MEC, Mrs. Mutisele. She did phone me, pleading with me that we must create this space so that you talk to us. And so the floor is yours, whilst the others are not yet here. We also have a team from National Treasury. We also thank them for being here for these many hectic days. We also have our own wonderful friends at the back there. That team that is dominated by the other species. You know, some other species is this under threat. And so that man that is dominated by the fairer sex there, they are from the Fiscal and Financial Commission, forever here all the time. We have serious questions for them. Oh yes, there is a team there that is also dominated by males, no women. And these are the men that raise questions. They raise questions precisely because there's nobody dominating them from that side. Then, having welcomed everybody on this wonderful day, you've got us rain. It's raining outside. And maybe it's because of you. We have the hard copies from you. And let's allow you to speak to that copies. Oh yeah, there is the presentation on the technology. That's it, sir. You may proceed. Just switch it on.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first of all, I want to really thank you and the Honourable Members for granting us this opportunity. I've been to Parliament just after 94, and I have forgotten how intimidating the venue can be, and only realized again this morning how intimidating it is. But please, Chairperson, accept our sincere apologies for not being able to be here on last week, Friday. We are from the Bundus, and with the strike, we didn't know what to expect from that strike. Sometimes you always get a few thugs that pushes things out of hand. And we really appreciate this opportunity. We have did it with our MEC, and I'm so grateful to her that she also did it with you to grant us this opportunity to make our presentation. Chair, we brought the information with us. The first part of that document, it's just a written part that will be also be discussed with the slides. So it's just the more information on the slides, but the information will be given as we go through the slides. The second part of that document, you will find all the slides that we will be presenting. My colleague, who is the acting chief director for our municipal finance management unit, he will do the presentation with your indulgence. And again, just want to say thank you very much. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Our presentation is going to cover the following aspects. We're just going to have a brief introduction, then just give an overview on the financial status of municipality, the state of the budget process, some challenges, some support programs that we are having in place, and then lastly, just to close our presentation. In the Northwest, our municipalities are struggling with similar, with the same problems as many other municipalities. It ranges from financial policies, systems, lack of skills, some political challenges, instability, as well as infrastructure backlogs. The support that was given in the past was not done holistically, and we felt that we were rather treating the symptoms instead of looking for the causes of the problems in municipalities. In terms of the unit, the MFMA unit was established to give support to municipalities, but the unit itself also lacks, you know, also have limited resources and capacity to monitor and support municipalities. We then decided we need to do a proper diagnosis in order to give the correct support to the right municipalities. And this approach must be targeted and must look at measurable results. We also want to build some in-house capacity to ensure that the unit itself can provide or meet the demands and the needs of municipalities. And so lastly, we want to look at giving feedback to municipalities on a continuous basis. In terms of the financial status of municipalities, we have 26 local and district municipalities, and they range from very poor to financially viable municipalities. The majority of these municipalities are in the rural areas, and they have a limited or no revenue base. We have high levels of unemployment and limited economic activity in some areas. And we have high levels of indigenous consumers that really impacts on the revenue raising capabilities of some of these municipalities. And so lastly, we have poor financial administrative systems in some of these municipalities. In terms of how we group our municipalities, we have mainly three groupings: financial viable, financial stable, and financial struggling municipalities. The financial viable municipalities are more your bigger established municipalities in the main centres, your Rustenburg, your Matosanas, your Marathon, Potchefstroom, Moses Kotane, the district municipalities and one small municipality down. They are more financial viable. The financial stable municipalities, they are stable, they are not they can meet their commitments. It's your Gepleng Rivier, your Money Banks, Kahisanos, Mafikeng, Makwasi, Rakhil, Zeres, and so forth. And then we have our financial struggling municipalities, poor revenue base, smaller municipalities. They are really struggling, and lack of capacity, lack of resources. Our classification is not in terms of the national treasury classification, in terms of high, medium, and low. This is just to group our municipalities for support purposes. So this is not. There's no correlation between the two classifications. In terms of the financial status of municipalities, just a snapshot we gave is the central district municipality at the end of March. They have to spend about 75% of their budget. At the end of March, they spend about 44% on capital expenditure and 49% on operating expenditure. The Popirima district, more rural district, spend about 70% of their capex and 64% of their opex. As at the end of March 2007, the estimated outstanding debtors of municipalities in the region of 1.8 billion. It's just the estimated figure, we don't have an exact figure of what is really outstanding. The outstanding credit is above 90 days is also showing escalation on a month-to-month basis. So showing that misspellings are not paying the creditors within 30 days. And then some of these municipalities are really 100% run payments. So we just gave an overview of what municipalities received in terms of equitable shares since 2003. This is not all the municipalities, just to basically the highest and lowest allocations. Some municipalities had an increase of up to 739%. In percentage-wise, it sounds very much, but if you look at in rand values, it's about 11 million rand increase over a 7-year period. But the majority of municipalities had equitable share allocations increased in excess of 200% over the 7-year period. What does that mean for municipalities? If they see 200% increases in equitable shares, shouldn't we see improved service delivery? We then looked at the highest increases was about 739%. The average increase was about 200%. And the lowest increases over the 7-year period was 103%. The total increases for the province over the 7-year period is 248%. But Jefferson and members, we can't link these increases to improved service delivery. Municipalities are still spending more money on salaries, bonuses, and bulk purchases. At some municipalities, the total salary bill is in excess of 50% of the total operating expenditure. In terms of infrastructure grant allocations over the period 2003 to 2009-10, in some municipalities there were substantial increases, mainly again...
Sorry, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Is that better? Okay. So if you look at the infrastructure grant allocations over the period 2003 to 2009, some of the municipalities have substantial increases, but mainly again your smaller, weaker and rural municipalities, increases were not that substantial. In terms of the budget process, the municipalities have to table their draft budgets by the end of March, have their public hearings during April and May, and adopt their final budgets by the end of May. Finalize their service delivery and budget implementation plans, performance agreements, and lastly, Jefferson, during February and March, finalize their adjustment budgets. We did an assessment to determine how far municipalities were. After the end of most municipalities presented their draft budget during March, and the majority of them submitted their budgets adopted their budget at the end of May. 8 of the 25 municipalities tabled by the end of March their drafts. 12 of the 25 adopted their budgets before the end of May. 10 out of 25 municipalities adopted on the 31st of May their budget, so the last day of the period. We have Ventersdorp that's scheduled to adopt on the 6th of June. Mamusa, one of the struggling municipalities, is scheduled to adopt by mid-June. And we're in the process of giving support to the municipality. We then did budget assessments on all the budgets we received from municipalities. So the ones that we received, we did an assessment and we communicated the results of that to municipalities. So we gave feedback to all of the municipalities that we received. Their budgets. So in terms of the budget assessment report, just a snapshot, we still find that the senior management are not financially orientated. So except for your CFO, the majority of your Section 57 managers are not driving the budget process. It's still a historic problem where the budget is left to the CFO to prepare and present. We also looked at the credibility of revenue sources when municipalities include sources of revenue in their budget which we know is not going to materialize. And we also look at the sustainability of some of the capital investments. And then also the financial sustainability of some of these institutions. Some of the budget documents are still not user-friendly, municipalities don't prepare in the right formats. The consultation process is a serious attention. The majority of municipalities do public participation, but the process is not really meeting they are not hitting the right audiences. So they still need to relook at some of those processes. The budget process timelines are not adhered to, and budgets are not related to the IDP objectives. Spread plans is done in isolation. So we still find, Jefferson, that municipalities are not linking their programs against their plans and priorities. Some of the challenges that are still there is incremental budgeting is still used, and that's due to a lack of planning. Budgets are still compiled in the old format and then converted to circulating aid format, where distortion of information takes place. We still find there are challenges in terms of cash flow management and debt collection of debt. The linking of the budget with the IDP is just theoretical. We still have unrealistic budgets, and this is repeated annually. External borrowing is not confirmed, no credit ratings are done by municipalities. So budgets are prepared and stated that money will be borrowed, but no confirmation has been obtained. And budgets are still not used as a strategic tool. It's more operational focus, just dealing with the basics, month-to-month purchases, payments of salaries, and operating expenses. Some of the other challenges we have is in terms of long-term debt, it's mainly in high-capacity municipalities, your bigger municipalities. Short-term debt is still a problem, especially in terms of the time frames to do away with overdraft. We still have challenges in terms of the validity and the comparing of monthly data submitted by municipalities. There's huge discrepancies, and there's no consistency in information that's received from municipalities. There's a slow process of procurement. There's still municipalities still delay the process of rolling out the infrastructure projects due to slow processes in procurement. National and provincial treasuries are providing training on this matter, but there's still a need to improve on it. The time frames in the compilation of the annual financial statements. The majority of municipalities in the Northwest met the time frames last year. We were one of the best performing provinces on that. But we still have a challenge in terms of the outcomes of those financial statements. We had only 4 unqualified audit opinions out of the 25. So it's a question of the quality of information that's presented to the Auditor General. There's a serious skills gap in terms of the compilation of financial statements, especially on the new formats. And municipalities need serious capacity in terms of the CLAP-DMAP conversions. The Provincial Treasury and Accountant General doesn't have enough capacity to assist each and every municipality with this conversion. So it becomes a challenge to assist 25 municipalities hands-on. In terms of the establishment of audit committees in municipalities, we propose that district municipalities must have a shared service in terms of sharing costs, experiences, skills, and so on. And this proved to be very successful in 2 district municipalities. There's a number of cross-cutting problems that really need a strategic approach. And here we try to look at how we can develop innovative ways to support municipalities. In terms of our capacity building programs for councillors and officials, we adopted a targeted approach. So we don't do, you know, generic training or across-the-board training for municipalities throughout the year. We look at specific time frames. If it's budget time, we deal only with budget-related training processes. If it's compilation of financial statements, we only do financial statements training. So we try to schedule our training in terms of the time when it's going to be needed. And then lastly, Chairperson, the municipal managers and Section 57 managers are assumed to know everything, but they also need support and capacity to the building. So we feel that there's a need also to assist them in their roles and responsibilities. And then lastly, we look at ways and means how we can share best practices and knowledge amongst municipalities, irrespective of their size and location. There's a number of good initiatives that we are trying to share amongst municipalities. In terms of our strategy, we conducted a status quo assessment, comprehensive status quo assessment, and then after that we started developing strategies and support programs. The strategies are based per municipality, so we didn't adopt a blanket approach to say municipalities don't have capacity, you need to do 1, 2, and 3. We decided to look at each municipality, what are the challenges, and how do we as a provincial treasury can assist. In terms of the support programs, we developed specific KPIs per municipality. And then last, in terms of the compliance programs, we really looked at, developing incremental approach, and also to ensure that our approaches are realistic and we have buy-in from all the stakeholders. In terms of our support programs, we also, in terms of the budget process, we make sure we give proper feedback to municipalities, not only on compliance issues, but also on strategic issues. In terms of the monthly reporting, there's huge challenges getting accurate data on time from municipalities, and here we went and we gave hands-on support to municipalities on the formats and processes to ensure that the quality of information that comes from in the monthly reports are accurate and that we can make sense out of it. Support is also given on, or training is given on the roles and responsibilities on both officials and councillors. And then we have hands-on support to the low and medium capacity municipalities on the grab canop conversions. We also give support on reporting formats and tools because we feel that municipalities are not using the same information for planning and management purposes also. So we want to empower them in that areas. And then last, we also give support on revenue enhancement initiatives. In terms of our resources, we are currently building enough capacity. We don't have enough capacity. And here we try to look at that. We want to have a dedicated team that can analyze information and data, make sense out of it, design strategies, give support from the same information, and give proper feedback to municipalities to ensure we have improvement. And then lastly, we looked at measurable improvement areas such as the number of audit reports, quality of budget and reporting information, and sharing of information with all stakeholders. In terms of our initial structure, we had four directorates, one dealing with budgets, one supply chain, one dealing with systems, and one dealing with reporting. This didn't prove very successful, Jefferson. It was creating silos, there was no communication amongst the units, and we had to look at how do we streamline this process. We had a number of vacancies which we are in the process of filling. We then restructured the unit and created four district teams, where each district team will have a team of resources dealing with budgets, financial statements, supply chain reporting, a whole unit. This will help us to improve communication in the unit, also to ensure that we don't have to send knock on municipalities' doors every second day. So if a team goes to municipality, must provide a one-stop service instead of 10 people going there every second day. So we restructured the unit. We identified a few support special projects for this financial year. We are giving practical and hands-on support on the grab camera conversions, so we deployed two experts. And then we set the target to deal with a number of qualified audit reports. We said we need to be realistic in this matter. We had four unqualified in the 2005-06 financial year. We then set a target to increase it to six in the 2006-07 financial year. So we want to at least sustain the four that we had and also add another two municipalities to have unqualified reports. We are approaching the end of June and we are realistic that we can have six unqualified audit reports if we continue on what we are busy with. In the 2007-08 financial year, we want to increase that 6 to 14, and in 2008-09, we want to increase it to at least to 20 municipalities. So over a 3-year period, we want to move from 4 municipalities to about 20 out of the 25. We are also busy reviving the internal audit functions to support that initiative. And then we want to look at ways and means how we can accelerate infrastructure projects. And here we are looking at initiatives among the PMU units, EBSA, ourselves, DPLG, and a number of other stakeholders. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Wow! Thank you. I see you, Mr. Kuyama. But before we take questions and answers, let's give our technical team to National Treasury to reflect and complete further this presentation. Baba.
Thanks, Timo, for the presentation. I think it's very quite comprehensive. But I'm a bit concerned that some of the issues I raised in this presentation when I received it were never attended to. And I thought that we'll have a very fruitful and intensive discussion about the issues I raised, whereby we can debate it, not necessarily say include them in the presentation, but have a debate around them. And I don't see that thing having happened at all. That is a bit of a worry for me. The other worry for me is that, you know, we've got the structure and you mentioned the internal capacity problems. It has been there for the past 2.5 years to 3 years. And as far as I'm concerned, I haven't had or seen any commitment from senior management at the Treasury to actually look at the MFMA unit, capacitate it with the right people, with the right skills. My interactions with the staff there shows some disillusionment from the staff. They want to work, but they're complaining that there isn't any, active participation of the leadership and senior managers in the strengthening of the unit. One of the issues that I actually raised with regard to your presentation was that, Northwest has got four districts. You only presented information on the two districts. And some of the issues that are raised in that presentation that get the information from the other two districts. The other thing is that, the slides or the presentation shows only the amount of equitable share obtained by municipalities. That is okay. MIG as well. We know that it has been increasing. We know that it's still going to be increasing in the long run up until 2010. But we're more interested in finding out on the equitable share. What is the expenditure on salaries? What is the expenditure on repairs and maintenance? What is the expenditure on free basic services? Because that equitable share is mostly, besides for institutional stabilization, it also caters for free basic services that we don't see in your presentation. MIG, every municipality gets an infrastructure grant. It has to be spent. And I think the people here are mostly interested in how much of that MIG has been spent to address deadlocks in the area of Northwest. As we know, there's a lot of civil unrest about service delivery in there. That's the kind of issues that we wanted to see in this report, to say, fine, there's some strides being made to address service delivery backlogs, MIG is being spent properly, and that we don't see in the presentation. But it's something that we can still talk about and surely make an improvement upon it. But my real concern for now is still the capacity within the Treasury and the support that the senior management must give to the staff there and come up with time frames and timelines as to when are people going to be appointed to give support to the municipalities. And the other thing is to strengthen relationships with our national treasury. All the challenges that you have mentioned there, I mean, it's something that we should have discussed and sought a national treasury assistance on that. We are very much open. We have quarterly meetings, and these are the issues that have been raised before. But we don't see any progress made so far with regard to what we discussed previously in our meeting. It's still the same old story. But I think for now it's good that everybody knows about it. And National Treasurer and Northwest Provincial Treasurer as from now onwards, I think we'll strengthen our relationships and come up with ways and strategies to improve on the performance of the provincial treasurer, which ultimately will help the municipalities in a whole lot of things. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Now, in terms of this report, are you saying it was a district, two districts that are not reported on? And which are those districts? Okay, that's fine. Right, Mr. Huyeman. Kota and Sokoni.
No, thank you, Chair. I'm going to be very controversial on this matter. Because it's a pity also, Chair, you allowed Treasury to speak before us. And the issues that Treasury is raising, it's very surprising. Because they were supposed to assist actually this municipality or this province or the Treasury Department in terms of engagement and in terms of all those type of things. They were not supposed to raise it here. Actually, they were supposed to take jointly here to say that when we go out here, this is what we are going to do, because that is our responsibility as National Treasury in order to assist the provincial Treasury Departments or whatsoever. It only depends what it is. Because it's not going to be fair. They are supposed to give that particular supporting strategies to the provinces. That's why they are national. That's the first thing that I would want to raise here. The second thing, it's a pity that it's only the other two districts are not being mentioned here. Now, there are a number of questions that one wants to have asked. If you look at the second page of the presentation, the presentation gives us an indication that there is a limited or no revenue base in some of the municipality, actually not some, majority of the municipality. To us who are not at the province, it doesn't make sense, because we don't know which municipalities are those, and we don't understand the statement if we are saying that limited or no revenue base. What do you mean by those? Because if we can get proper clarity in terms of that, we'll be able to make inputs. But that is a statement, sort of a passing statement, which one would want clarity on that, because when you say that no revenue base, what do you mean by that? For a layman like myself, like my grandmother, like whoever, what do you mean if you say no revenue base? Because, and also give us the indication of those municipalities, so that we must see how do we lobby Treasury to assist in that particular thing. We once went to Northwest Province on page 3. The Lekwatemman, because it's under financial struggling municipality. And to the best of my knowledge, this municipality was under administration. And when we left that particular municipality, we were given a report that that municipality is very stable. The last time when the finance committee went there, in Bloemhof, is it Bloemhof or whatsoever? We are given that indication, but now here again a contradiction, because it was not quite some time back. Now here it's still under the struggling municipalities, which gives us a contradiction. Can we get clarity on why it's still struggling? Because by then it was in fights, your politicians, your whatsoever, they were fighting. But it's coming back on the very same report again, that gives us an indication. If you go to slide 3 again, Chair, on page 3, it is very vague. Some municipalities 100% grant dependent. It doesn't give us an indication. Which are those municipalities? Because it's repeated. Every now and then it's repeated. And if you go through that slide, you will have a number of questions that you would want to ask. If that slide can be clarified. Because it's even escalating. Outstanding creditors above 90 days is escalating. What do you mean by that? It is not clear, it doesn't give us the actual problem that is actually taking place. Now, when you say municipalities spend more on salaries, on page 4, financial status 4, municipality still spend more on salaries and all those type of things. Can you get an indication of the percentage so that you must have a clear understanding what do you mean by that? Is it 32%, is it 45%, and which municipalities are those in terms of the money that they are spending on salaries, because it's a serious concern. I remember when we started with this particular thing, there was a particular, I'm not so sure, I don't know if it was 35% that you must try to spend 35% on salaries, or 30% and on salaries. So if you raise it in that particular fashion, it doesn't give us a clue. What do you mean if you say that they spent on those type of things? If you go to page 7, passive process, we get an indication that municipalities are supposed, there is a clear program, a clear guidelines when you are supposed to adopt, when is it for public hearings, when it's supposed to be final, etc., etc. This report gives us an indication that there are municipalities that are going to adopt sometimes June and all those type of things. How can we get an indication? How does it affect the municipality negatively or positively? And what are the after effects thereof? And what is Treasury? What role has the department played in terms of avoiding this? Or what mechanisms do they have in place that the next financial year this problem is not going to be there again, in order to assist these municipalities that they must not repeat all these type of things. The last question, sir. It's for the first time that I'm asking so many questions. This report brings a number of questions. There are municipalities that are investing. Which municipalities are those? And why do they invest? And because the report gives us a clear program, indication that actually all these municipalities are struggling. So what do you still invest if you are struggling? If you look at your page on page 18. Now let me give, I know the My comrades will be able to ask the other questions that I have left. But lastly, Chair, how long is this process going to take? Because for the last years, we always hear capacity, capacity, capacity. Mechanisms put in place in order to address the capacity problem. Now, page 20 still talks about capacity. Can one get an indication how long is this process that Treasury is proposing going to take in terms of dealing with the challenges which they have outlined here? Because I'm very, very worried, Chair. We are able to clearly give out the challenges that we have. But we don't get a clear indication how are we going to deal with these challenges. We make it a sort of a term, measurable, realistic, which is very vague. But when we had the challenges, we managed to give a clear indication those challenges that are there. But we are not getting a clear indication how are we going to deal with those challenges that will be able to give us a clear guideline so that an understanding. Or this is how the department are going to deal with or assist municipalities to deal with these particular challenges. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Just to remind you, the municipality that we visited, even though it is struggling, is Mamusa, not Liquid Diamond. But then it is in that category. I think that's the critical concern, which is valid. That we are raising. And that's about a year ago. It means there's a big problem. If at that time we were given this report, optimistic report about the recovery plan, etc., etc. And here we are again. I think again it's a matter that when we're dealing with the DBSA report, we must also really raise sharply with the DBSA. Mr. Porter?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think my colleagues have already raised a lot of issues that's actually on my list here, but I will change it a little bit in regarding of here on page 2. High levels of unemployment and limited economic activities in some areas. Okay, if you look into that, there's unemployment, people haven't got jobs. But just on the other hand, if you're looking in the district on the municipality spending, you find out that other municipalities, the one is Potchefstroom and other municipalities, the budget is 178 million and they spent 2.3 million until the end of March. So nothing was spent. There's 1.3 of capital expenditure. See, and you can go through that if you go to the first part where the expenditure of municipalities, Greater Taung. Budget fund, the capital budget is 13 million. Expenditure until the 31st of March is 300,000. It's 2.3%. And so you can go on, Chair. In regarding of outstanding debitors, there's also a raising issue of a chance. 1.8 billion. Outstanding creditors for 90 days. There's no indication who owned the municipalities that and what is the process to try to earn that money back, either the government departments or what the case may be. Here also, in regarding of capacity, what my colleague referred, then you see the municipalities still spend more on salaries and bonuses. Here, if a municipality can't deliver, then there's a shortage of capacity, then there's no shortage of staff, vacancies. But still they spend more money on salaries, so who the salaries is on? And if all this municipality, and if you go through all the municipalities in the way of spending, not a single one of is entitled to any bonus. I'm straight honest to say that. How can you give any person a bonus if you not spend infrastructure money? I mean, a bonus is only for the top level, unless the cleaners are clean, the office is very good, and they get all the bonuses. But the bonus is out if you're not delivering. You can only get a bonus if you are really delivering. And all the municipalities, is not one of them, is really delivering in any way of that. So, I don't know, this bonus is it to fiscal managers, or what is that, and how much is that, and whose municipalities get it, and that's really a big concern. Then, if you go further on, and I'm asking, there's also the process of IDP versus the budget, and I think it's one of the challenges. Now, local government is not here, it's only treasury. What is the cooperation and the link between treasury and local government in line of this from IDPs versus budgets? If they do anything, if they meeting with each other, if they meeting with the municipality to say this dream budget of dream IDPs was drawn up by consultants, is it linked up with the budgets? Is that department's linking up as if they involved with the draw of this thing, because that is the task, this is the duty of it. And regarding of that, is they doing that? And if they're not doing that, say, we hear yesterday Western Cape what they are doing because of they have the problem, perhaps like perhaps they were supposed to be here and then they could also be in regard of that. Say, the other issue of this low spending of infrastructure money. Is treasury withhold any money from municipalities because of that? Because if you're not spending, you spend 2 or 3% until end of March. What will happen with that money? Will you by the back? Or is there any plan in regarding to assist that? Because end of the day, the treasury and local government is responsible for this. Chair, and then also what my colleague said, national treasury. This report was supposed to come back sometimes quarterly, was this report to national treasury? Did you receive this report? And what have you done about this report? Have you sent people out to assist the Northwest Treasury? You can answer later on. That you send people out to assist the provincial treasury and local government, as you report this to local government, to say, we got the problem. Say, what you say here, and you're 100% right. If you go through these municipalities, they are not actually in a intensive care unit. They are close to the mortuary. They are very close to take them away. 139 Constitution. Really, I'm concerned, Chair. The end of the day, Chair, the people on the ground didn't get delivery. And if people are unhappy about issues, then you can refer to this report and say the people on the ground didn't get anything. Because you can't spend 2.3% on a 3-quarterly report of your capital expenditure. I'm telling you, Chair, if I was in that municipality, I'll also go to it. I'm honest to say that. Thank you, Chair.
If you do it, I'm going to take you to jail. That's the bottom line. But then let me just raise what my colleague raises. He says, so much money is paid to salaries to do what? In the context of all of this. Just to do what? I see there's some... I thought they were lost. Here is your mayor. Are you from Chrisani? Your mayor is seated here. Yeah. Right, Mr. Sokol.
Now I'm afraid the lion in the young lion there is really a dominating factor this morning. I brought a sheep, I didn't bring a lion. I see that sometimes here as well. That lion has affected me. Yeah, now I brought a sheep. And I would share, can I start by saying, I think that what worried me in the, maybe it was good that you asked National Chair to comment immediately after they have commented. But what worried me from National Treasury's report is to say there were issues that were raised behind closed doors. Now we are in an open forum now. And we were not at that forum where those issues were raised, which have not been what the colleague touched on today. I would have hoped that they would have said, we raised, for instance, 1, 2, 3. You have not addressed those issues. I was very interested in those issues that were raised that have not been addressed. So that maybe they could help us to address all the other questions that colleagues are raising. I think it's because it's those issues, you know, and those issues won't know. Now the colleagues are going into details because they are not aware of those issues that were raised behind. So I think it will be very useful for this forum to understand as to where they are. And clearly, the question of capacity, I think that has been strongly raised, has been touched upon by National Treasury, because I was worried that in terms of the demand of MTF, what capacity is there first, and Treasury has to deal with this demand of the MTF. I don't have a question. But the other question may be that one would was interested in is I was looking at the audit reports of Northwest Municipality. You know, I was trying to check within my mind which one is a high capacity municipality or what. Because every municipality has got a disclaimer, did get a disclaimer, and one municipality has got an address. Clearly, I'm raising this question of capacity in that context, that what is it that is being done in this evolving evolving what we call the MTF process. So, clearly, there's a lot that needs to be done. But my colleagues also are saying, sort of further, you have taken note of these problems. What has been Treasury's role, really? Not just to criticize them, because we're not in the game of criticizing. We're in the game of assisting the province with the municipality.
No, thank you. All right, let me first read some things before we proceed. One, on page 2 under introductions, I'm not asking questions, I'm going to read some things. Challenges range from financial policies, systems, skills, political instability, and infrastructure that we know. That is not right. Support was not done holistically. Number two. Just page 2 of this. Just going to the towards the middle then, Mr. Sukum. Under the state of municipalities. Support over past 4 years, not effective because, underline, symptoms were treated and not the cause of the problem. Now, MFMA unit has limited resources and capacity to monitor and support municipalities. Needed proper diagnosis to provide correct support. Needed a targeted approach to ensure measurable results. Need to build in-house capacity to meet the needs, demands, etc. That's now page 2. Page 3. The growth of their locations, their financial status was phenomenal. Higher interest 739%, average interest 200%, 103%. Now it goes back to what Mr. Boda was saying, and therefore service delivered. And yet growth were so high. Municipalities spend in more on salaries, bonuses, and power purchases. In other words, the total increases for the Northwest Province was 248% on the same slide. Alright. Then we go to page 8. The credibility of revenue sources. Of course, there's also the issue of budget documents not user-friendly, financial sustainability, consultation processes needs attention, budget processes timelines not adhered to, budgets not related to IGP, in other words, issues of priorities, lack of planning under the challenges, budget is compiled in the old format, unrealistic budgets, external borrowing, there's no credit, ratings done by munis, the budget is not used as a strategic tool in operation. Now, what does this then tell you? It tells you that that member was saying. But then also, Mr. Huyeman, what National Treasury was also telling you. So, what you must do then is simply this. Mr. Sobol is also right. Let's send this whole thing back. In other words, treasury in this team as the two treasuries, to go back to that province and do all these things that must be done and do them correctly. They will have to come back to this committee. I'm not sure when you're going to finish what you've got to do. Because one of the critical things is the fact that we have, I think, while this is a new process, I think we've got to take it much more seriously. Things looked much glamorous and glorious in the other provinces, as you were discussing. Now we're getting into the ICU. So it means we would want to have a comprehensive report. The issues that Mr. Sokoni talks to, in fact, let's also have a list of those things in writing sent to the committee so that we also look at them, but also go back and resolve all the issues that you need to deal with, because this is a serious problem. I mean, we were in some of these municipalities. Some of them were feeding some of these that are high capacity. Rustenberg, Hovenberg, where in Rustenberg, where in Mafosana's laptop. We got a beautiful picture. But what was worrying again to us when we were there was the fact that there are so many projects that were in the process of I mean, they were loaning money from the DBSA. That really worried us big time. Now, Mr. Porter is right. So many of the municipalities here are understanding. We also have disclaimers and other things. So, we will not allow you to respond to questions, because really, it's not going to assist us. But again, what we want to see happening is that we would want to see you work in collaboration with your local government counterparts. Because there is no way in which... Just that question. Okay. Can you then respond to your... They might say it's a nice relationship. I don't want them to respond to that. Because people will tell you that those things. It's a nice relationship. I mean, if people have a nice relationship, why are they not here? So I'm just saying, no, they should not respond to questions now. Let all of them go back to Northwest, and we'll look at that. You seem to be edgy.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Just a mic.
I really would feel very, very uneasy if we leave this meeting with the impression that the National Treasury hasn't done anything to support that.
No. Hang on, switch off. What Treasury was saying tells you the story. That National Treasury was trying to do something, and therefore there was reluctance. That's what you read between the lines. Because he is saying these are things. In fact, he says we have engaged. That's what he says.
Yeah.
That was taken into account. Don't worry about that. Yes. Hello, Mr. Potter.
I think you mentioned it. That when you already made the ruling that the National Treasury must go back and do their homework. And I think, Chair, through you also, to assist in regarding that local government must be a part of this process. And we must give them a time frame, say 3 weeks to or a month, or sometimes you can decide to give them a time frame to let we have a report. And if we make a plan, because see, if you're really looking to the whole matter of...
No, you're right. Let's say... You're right. You assisted me with the deadline. Because there's so much to be done. Let's say the next quarter. It's going to be a specific thing about this province and this kind of report, so that we have a holistic report about everything else. But also, when you come, it means you must come with your colleagues from local government. Thank you for that. And you are excused because, at least you are excused much earlier, so that you catch your catch your flight much earlier. You don't have an international airport. Is it a matter of life and death? Don't defend yourself now. Don't worry. You will have ample time when you have presented the report we are asking you to go back and do. Don't fight the young man in front of you now. Is it a matter of life and death, sir?
Yes. For us it is. It might not be for the house, but I plead your indulgence. There are some issues that we really would like to respond on. For the information of this house, I think it's really important that even if we go back, before we go back to do what we, or to get the answers on all the questions, I think there are certain issues that we must raise. And that's also one of the reasons why we really appreciated this opportunity to be here.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first thing is, Chair, first of all, I've said in the beginning, I was here in 94, and it's very intimidating. And this is the first time I had to represent the municipal unit in the provincial treasury. And the reason for that is we only take it over. It was only delegated to us, to me, and my unit very recently. And
oldest member of the committee.
No, thanks, Chair. I think that is exactly the point. To the presenter is acknowledging what we are raising. So we are giving him time to go and correct exactly what you are saying. He says that we are new, we have started now, and etc., etc. So it means there is a lot of work that he needs to go and do, Chair. So your ruling was correct, so that you must not put them under pressure. Next time when he comes, he's not new, he's an old groom and all, etc., etc. Thank you, Chair.
Alright, we have the off, Mr. Sokos.
No, sir, I think this asks us, Chair, because we really say to them, they, the provincial seller and national seller, they must go and work together. And then those answers, those responses that he wants to give, we'll really want to have them at the next quarter. We will invite them, Chair. I think that you must really assure them that they will get the opportunity to present their case here.
Now everybody gets their opportunities. I think then let us close this matter on that note and allow that municipality also that wants to plead poverty. That municipality from Krishan. Thank you very much, sir. It's not disrespect. It's also, I think, we are just saying we've seen some of the things in your report. And this is the way we've been dealing with many, many cases. I mean, look, one of your HOD was here housing. He did not even make a submission. But all what we said to him, no, the Auditor General must just walk in here because there's a problem. It's not negative. It's about trying to ensure that all of these things are happening. So thank you very much for having given us this brief. And it's a good thing that you did came and insisted that you came. Because also we really would have missed these issues that have come out. Thanks very much for the input. Mr. Mayor, face the nation, sir. Come forward and your team.
Can we break an FT for about 10 minutes? FT is ready.
Thank you. Thank you.